18 and a half past 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, third day of January 2012, and the start of a new writer-in-residence season for Island Institute. About four times a year they bring in writers, and the start for this year is going to be none other than Katie Schultz, who's here in Sitka now. Welcome to Sitka.
Hi, thank you.
And let's hear a little bit about you, kind of a resume of Katie Schultz.
Backwards or forwards?
Let's start, well, not at the very beginning, because you've been doing a lot.
I have been. I grew up in Oregon. That's the easy part. I grew up in Portland, and I also lived for about 10 years in the South in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina. And in 2010, I hit the road for 3 years of residencies and fellowships in the United States.
Why did you want to do that?
It seemed like a creative way to make a name for myself, knowing that I didn't really want to teach full time, but that I do still very much want to make my living as a writer. So it's happening slow and steady. And, I could have done it in a cabin in the woods for 3 years, or I could have done it going to really cool places and meeting a lot of people. So I chose the latter.
Your first time in Sitka, you got here a couple of days ago. What's your first impressions of our fine community here?
The sunlight was awesome yesterday, and it coincided nicely with discovering a John Muir quote from Travels in Alaska from his book, and the quote begins with, "How long we gazed, I never knew," and that's how I felt yesterday around 10 in the morning when I finally got to see where I landed.
So you've got a couple of things planned already this week. Tomorrow, actually, you're going to be doing a reading at the Kettleson Memorial Library. What's on the menu?
Well, I'm going to read from my current manuscript, which is called Flashes of War, and it's a collection of short stories featuring characters in and around the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I've never been to the Middle East, and I don't actually know anyone serving, but it's been a sort of obsession and interest of mine nonstop for the past several years. And the book is out there with a couple university presses, and my agent is working with folks, and we'll just see. So I will read a few flash fictions from that and one full-length story.
So there's 29 different stories in this book. How do you go about writing a story about something you've never experienced yourself? How do you do that?
I imagine a lot. Having an overactive imagination as a writer is really helpful. But what I discovered with, in particular, the war stories was I would research just enough to spark wonder or shock in the case of some of the materials that I encountered, and then stop and write from there. So there were particular images or quotes that stood out as I researched, and I wrote them down or put them on my wall and returned to them again and again, and then eventually I could imagine a story from them.
And this is from all sides of the situation over there, right?
Yeah, there's probably one of the hardest stories to write is written from the perspective of a young Iraqi boy who helps his cousin make a suicide bomb in the aftermath of Abu Ghraib. I mean, when that story started, I thought, oh man, what have I gotten myself into? It's just very challenging, but interesting. Because you have to really be compassionate and study wholeheartedly, like, sort of what would make a person want to do one thing or another. And we're all just humans when it boils down to it. So there's that one. And there's one. There's plenty from the perspective of U.S. soldiers, men and women. One from the perspective of a amputee in Walter Reed. One from the perspective of several from the perspective of Afghani women, with or without the burqa.
Well, it sounds fascinating. There must be a whole lot of research involved. When you think about the boy helping his friend build a bomb, you must have to learn how to build a bomb to be able to do a story like that, or is it just the emotions of it?
I had to check it out that it was actually possible, but I didn't go too much into the detail of it because it was more, the emotion, as you said. The other thing that I sort of got caught up on in the research was just using the right logistics and terminology for warfare, which I'm pretty unfamiliar with. But once I got into it, I got really excited about it, because giving a writer a new word is like giving a painter, you know, a new shade of green or something. It's like, that's all we need. So the subculture of war has its own language, and that comes with a cadence. And once you have that, you have momentum, and then you have a story. So that's how it works for me.
So is fiction all you're going to do, or do you ever feel like dabbling in maybe nonfiction or something?
Like I do. I actually, my graduate degree is in nonfiction, and I got out and I couldn't stop writing stories. And I had never written a story really before, not other than what you do as a child in grade school. So I really enjoy place-based essays and place-based writing, and that's where my blog comes into play. I have a pretty popular blog, and I'm going to be writing all about Sitka while I'm here, and those posts are sort of like a public sketch pad, and they usually turn into essays later.
Are copies of your book going to be available while you're here?
I have a zine out that I brought with me. It's a little handmade thing of four of the war stories, because the book isn't published yet. It's in the works. So that will be for sale at the reading tomorrow night. And then I'm associate editor for Track It On magazine, and I've brought copies of that as well.
And then on the 14th, you're going to be doing an actual workshop on something called flash fiction. What is flash fiction?
Flash fiction is my favorite thing on the planet, maybe other than coming to Alaska.
Now, in looking at your information, there's it's an actual guidebook, isn't it, for writers and teachers?
There are a number of books out there that are published that are guidebooks, just as there are for any form. But flash fiction is a subgenre of fiction, and it's very short stories that are 1 to 3 pages long. So for the writers out there, that's 250 to 750 words. And Charles Baxter says that the novel can win you by points, but flash fiction has to win you by TKO.
Yeah, because you got to condense it all down into three pages, an entire story.
It's really fun, and you don't have to tell the whole life story of the character. It's more like just capturing a moment with heightened precision, that you almost stop time or speed it up, as the case may be. But it's just a playful form, and it leaves an impact when it's done right, and you get to play with language a lot too, so I like it.
Well, and people always talk about that book you couldn't put down. You don't have to with this, because it's like 3 pages and you're done.
Yeah, and when you're writing it too, you know, you get to finish a lot sooner. It feels good.
Just back to Flashes of War for a second, I just thought of something else. You know, you have 29 different stories in there. Are they completely different stories? I mean, or how do you swerve your way around trying to keep it interesting?
Yeah, there's a few that are connected thematically. I have 3 that were just published in War Literature and the Arts, which is the only government-funded literary journal in the country. It's published by the United States Air Force Academy, and they published KIA, MIA, and WIA, so Killed in Action, Wounded in Action, and Missing in Action, 3 flash fictions. So those worked together for me. They're not about the same characters, but they're connected conceptually. Mm-hmm. And then I have a few pairings. There's one from the perspective of a soldier handing out bottles of water, and then another from the perspective of one of the young boys who takes the bottle of water. But beyond that, most of them are distinct from each other. You know that they're in the backdrop of war. And if it matters where they're placed within the war, because we've been doing this for so long now, then I try to, you know, give political cues to exactly around what year we're at.
So what do you hope people walk away with after your workshop? What are you going to try and instill in them?
Teaching the flash fiction workshop? Oh, I just hope they have fun. But I think they'll walk away with a few stories too, a few drafts and a few
hints on how to condense it down into...
Oh, yeah, we're going to do writing prompts, and we'll read some examples. That's the great thing about Flash, is you can just read it out loud right there on the spot. You don't need half an hour to share an example.
Okay, Carolyn here from the Institute. How do you go about finding these writers in residence?
We have an application process for some of our positions. It varies a little bit, but Katie applied. Our application deadline is in April for the coming program year for us, which starts in September. So she applied, and we are always delighted to have someone who wants to come to Alaska in January, because a lot of people don't. But Katie's been to Alaska before, so she knows the ropes a little, although she's not been in Southeast. And she sent us one of her war stories with her application that just blew my mind. So we are very excited to have her here, and especially to teach this flash fiction workshop. I think it gives people a chance to try something new. Like she said, it's a playful form. It's short. So we're really encouraging folks to come to that. It'll be at the Southeast Alaska Career Center. And there is a $30 fee. It's $15 for students. So we're hoping some younger folks might want to take it as well. And there's no limit in terms of numbers, so we'll see how many people we get. But
well, you've got a pretty good following from the Institute, so I imagine there's going to be some good crowds.
I hope there will be, and people can get a sampling tomorrow night at the reading, which is a great opportunity to meet Katie and hear her work firsthand and chat with her afterward. And so we encourage people to come out for that as well.
And that's Kettleson Memorial Library, and
yep.
The time?
7 o'clock.
Okay, and yep. the workshop again?
Is on the 14th, Saturday the 14th, and it'll start at 10 in the morning. It'll do 10 to noon and 1 to 3, I think is what we decided.
Do you register at the workshop, or can they pre-register?
They should sign up ahead with us, so people can call the Institute, 747-3794.
Yeah, Katie, not your first experience in Alaska. I understand you've trained with Iditarod dogs, and you actually charged a bull moose.
That was an accident, but I did. I was running out to see the Northern Lights. And, there's a story if you have a minute.
I got a minute.
I was writing, actually. I was working on the war stories. No, it's true.
Okay.
I promise. I was in a dear friend's cabin in Denali, just on the other side of the river. And, I was writing alone, which I do a lot. And I'd been there alone for, I think, 2 weeks at that point. And I heard like this giant scraping thing on the other side of the cabin wall. And I just ignored it, like wholly ignored it, refused to go there in my mind. It didn't matter what it was. I was in this cabin writing a story, fine. And then maybe 40 minutes later, the phone rings and a friend from a mile or so down the Parks Road called and said, "Oh, you got to go out if you haven't gone out yet. The Northern Lights are amazing tonight." So I forgot all about this huge scraping thing, and I put my hat on and my boots and my headlamp, and I ran out the door, and I was running down the driveway with my headlamp on, and I saw like these four trees in the middle of the driveway. But they weren't trees, they were the legs of a moose. And I got, you know, I was about 20 feet away from it before I realized. And
never have a camera when you need one.
No. No.
Well, it'll make a good story someday, though. Anyway. All right, Katie Schultz, welcome to Sitka, and enjoy your stay here, and hope you get a lot out of it, and everybody else gets a lot out of it, too.
The website is
katieschultz.com, with Katey, schultz.com.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Coming in.